Pesnik, pisatelj, novinar, legenda češkega odporniškega gibanja za časa komunizma. V kratkem, Jahim Topol. Z Jahimom Topolom smo se dobili tega septembra v Ljubljani. V Slovenijo je prišel zaradi promocije svoje najbolj znane knjige Sestra, ki je pri nas izšla pri založbi Sanje. S pomočjo dveh prijaznih študentk češčine, ki sta pomagali prevajati pogovor, smo se sporazumeli v čudni trojezični mešanici med slovenščino, češčino in angleščino. Zaradi novega protikadilskega zakona smo se pogovarjali zunaj. To je tudi razlog za harmonično avtomobilsko brnenje, ki nas bo včasih spremljalo v zadju današnjega intervjuja. Upam, da nam bodo naši poslušalci odpustili, ker smo zaradi nikotinske ljubezni pozabili, da bi zaprto okolje bolj kot ulica ugajalo čistosti posnetka. Jahim Topol je eden najbolj znanih odpornikov v času češkega komunističnega režima. Izdajal je nelegalne literarne časopise, jih tihotapil na Češkem in čez Poljsko mejo, zaprt je bil v norišnici in v zaporu. Ob vsem tem je še začel kariero glasbenega tekstopisca, pesnika in pevca v punk bandu. Kljub privlačnosti glasbenega zvezdništva je kmalo ugotovil, da še lepše sadove ubira na proznih livadah. Pojasnil nam je, zakaj je boljše biti mojster besede kot glasbenik in zakaj sta se z glasbo ukvarjala tudi poljski pisatelj Andrej Stašuk in nam bolj znan Andrej Blatnik.
Because there are three writers at the same age and we know each other and our books are translated and we had very similar not childhood, but adolescence, dospívání.
Adolescence, mladost.
Jo, mladost. Mladost. Mladost, ano, mladost. And I think that it was in Eastern Bloc when the rock music or the punk music was, or underground music was výraz něčeho svobodného.
Výraz něčeho svobodného.
To je úplně stejný jazyk. No a že vlastně jako u nás tří bylo podobný, ten Blatník, Stašuk a já, že jednoho dne we recognized that it's not our way to be members of group or to be members of bands. I was a singer, you know. One day I decided to be alone in nějaké malé místnosti a tam psát.
V nekem malém prostoru in tam, kjer by lahko pisal.
Because I think the biggest difference is that when you are a member of band, you are a member of gang. You know, it's to pracuješ dohromady. Společná práce.
Děláš skupaj.
No, ale jako být spisovatel, to je strašně individuální. To je egoistický takový, no.
Být pisatel pa je zelo individuálno, egoistično.
A navíc, já si myslím, že je to být spisovatel dneska je strašně romantický. No, ale být jako muzikál nebo popstar.
Danes je být pisatel romantično, ampak být zvezda ali popstar pa ne tako.
Jo, a one more thing. Jako popstar musíš být mladý.
Za popstar pomůžeš být mlad.
Ale viděla jsi, have you seen the pictures of Samuel Beckett, for example? As a writer, you could be 19 years old and it's good for you.
Jahim Topol slavi tudi kot najmlajši podpisnik karte 77, državljanske pobude za spoštovanje človeških pravic, ki so jo leta 1977 podpisali najpogumnejši češko-slovaški intelektualci. Vprašali smo ga, kako je zgledalo njegovo politično udejstvovanje.
In my generation there is a nostalgia about the year 1989. Because we were at the age of 25 or 20 and we made revolution, you know. For the whole life you were like, but you were 25, you had a Czechoslovakian flag, you were standing on the barricade, your picture was in Newsweek, you know, everybody loved you, you know, it was beautiful. But, you know, it was life in nejistota, nejistota.
Ne, negotovost.
No, že jako nostalgia, of course, ale já nikdy jsem jako, ne, nikdy nechci dělat mýtus z toho, že ti je 17 let a mlátějí tě policajti na tajný policii. To je hrozný, jo? Nebo že tě strčejí tě do blázence na 3 měsíce. A dávají ti drogy. To bylo hrozný, jako, to fakt bylo hrozný. A šlo to přežít jenom, že člověk byl mladý a vlastně nevěděl, že je něco jiného. Jo? A to jsem nebyl já, to nás byly stovky, tisíce.
Já jsem grozný.
Jo.
Grozný?
To bylo, jo.
Nočím dělat mít z toho, že ty policajti tepe, ale tě pošiljají u umobolnice, norišnice.
Jo, jak se řekne blázinec?
Norišnice.
Jak?
Norišnice.
To mi musíš napsat vždycky, jo. No.
Norišnice.
No, tak to napiš, prosím. A tam do tebe cpou drogy a jako to bylo fakt, to bylo jako strašný, to je pravda.
Were you sent to Norišnice?
Huh?
Were you sent to...
I spent 3 months in... because they sent me there, you know, because
why?
Why? Because I refused to go to the army. And it was not me only, it was the same for hundreds and hundreds of people of my age. It was normal, it was folklore. And ty jsi to mohl přežít, survive only, protože jsi byl mladý. A nevěděl jsi, že je něco jiného. My jsme to nevěděli, že jde žít jinak.
Jako jsi to přežil, protože jsi byl mladý, nevěděl, že je něco jiného.
I think really cruel it was in Soviet Union. There were so-called psychuška. For political prisoners they made psychiatry. But in Czechoslovakia it was not so cruel, because the doctors were good. It was... Have you ever heard about Švejk? So it was a bit more like Švejk than Solženicyn. You know, yeah. It was Czech way, you know. I am crazy, you know. But from the point of view, jako dneska, mi to připadá příšerný. Dneska mi to připadá jako středověk, jo. Ale tehdy mi to přišlo jako normální, prostě.
Dnes se mi zdí grozno, takrát se mi zdělo normálno.
No a ty policajti jako nás jako nemučili, jo. Kdyby člověk za druhý světový války, tak ti vytrhávají nechty a mučejí tě a řežou tě nožem. A nás nemučili, nás jenom mlátili. Mm-hmm. Takže to taky šlo.
Torej, policaji jih niso mučili, tako kot v času med svetovnima vojnama. Tukaj so jih samo tepli, niso jim potrgali prste.
Okay.
And at this time you know nothing about future, but you know a lot about past. And you know a lot about history. And the history was 50s. At the time of 50s there was a Stalinism, there were concentration camps, executions and so on. And before, deep into history, was Hitler. So we were in very good situation, you know? Not, no torture, only beating.
Okay. And how young you were when you did sign this card?
18.
18?
Because it's the age of dospělost.
Odraslost.
Yeah.
Because I read somewhere that you were 15. So
no, it was the mistake of American journalist. Uh-huh. From 1989, I made an interview, and for American journalist, it was very, you know, it was sexy to write. He's the youngest, you know, and it was the mistake, and it's on internet.
Sam izdat je drugo ime za proces izdajanja nelegalne literature v državah bivšega sovjetskega bloka. Glasila je uredila in napisala, distribuirala in ročno kopirala le ena oseba ali majhna skupina ljudi. Poslušajte, kako je to v praksi delovalo na Češkem.
Well, one of our machines was used in 1942. And now there is a very, very famous Czech politician. He is a ministerský předseda. Jak se to řekne?
Ministerský předseda.
And his name is Saša Vondra. And he is a good friend of me. And he was in my group, we were together. And his grandpa was killed in concentration camp during the war. Why? Because he was active in underground publishing. And we, in the year 1985, we were using the same machines like during the war. So it was technically very primitive, but very účinný. Jo. A to je strašně primitivní, to máš jako tohle, paper, black carbon paper, you do this, 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 and you have leaflet. Very primitive. And we have, and other machines we have from Poland. Because Sasha and me, we were members of Czech, Polish, Slovak Solidarność. Oh, under the Walesa and Pope, we were fighting, it's so funny. And I was smuggling, it was my favorite activity, that I was smuggling with this man, Sasha, through the border, from the mountain, there was a snow. And we had 60 kilograms of letáku, leaflets, and the application machines. And we were smuggling it in the storm, in the snow, from Poland to Czech Republic. So it was a very romantic activity, you know, we are smuggling 60 kilograms of poetry and machines, you know, and it was also very anti-communist, but it was romantic, you know. So you were asking me how it looks practically to do it. So it was very primitive way, the most primitive duplication machines are the most účinný. And when the police came, you could destroy your machine in 5 minutes. Beautiful. After the revolution, I recognized that we were using the same style like drug dealers. The same, right? That you have big distributor, and you have small distributors, and smaller. And you, the most important is that you don't know each other's. So we had the distributors in many cities. There was one terrible thing, that we were using carbon paper. It means that your hands were very dirty. And it was very hardly to umýt. So it was a little bit dangerous, because after years of it, police recognized the printers because the hands. So it's one of important details. Nobody knows about it now.
Svoj aktivizem Topol povezuje s tradicionalno vlogo literature in umetnosti kot političnih orodij, ki je pri Čehih, tako kot pri Slovencih, že tradicionalna in vleče korenine od nacionalnega prebujanja.
Well, you know, it's very different to be politically active now or in the time of socialism. Because be politically active in this time of censorship, it means that you are, I don't know, the group has a open concert. If you are standing here and to write poem, political activity. You understand? Every free step was political action. You know? To znamená, že já jsem nebyl politický mozek, ale jako někdo z mých kamarádů, ale snažili jsme se jako žít normálně. Jo? A že když jsme uspořádali výstavu obrazů, které byly zakázané, tak to režim bral jako politickou akci. Takže to je trošku misunderstanding.
Everything that you could done and that wasn't following the regulations, the law, that was politically active.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
maybe the answer and the question, why is Czech literature or art and politics or political activism so connected? Because I know your first president was writer as well.
And I am sure this is very, very, very strong tradition. And the beginning is in the time of anti-Germanism. You know, you had Habsburgs here. And we had Habsburgs for 300 years. And at this time, the Czech intellectuals start to make, you know, propaganda for Czech nation. So the first people who were against Germans in, I don't know, 17th century were intellectuals and writers. And the basic for the surviving of nation was language, poetry and so on. Jo, to je, ale to bylo podobný, it was the same for Polish people, not for you.
Kljub kljub svoji vlogi pri osamosvojitvi bivše Čehoslovaške, Topol pravi, da nekdanje disidentstvo ni ravno vstopnica za visoko družbo.
In Czech Republic the dissidents are not very very obliben.
Priljubljeni.
No. Well, this activity it's not very it's not like a ticket to the publicity. People don't like it very much. Why? Because the dissidents or people who were very active, it was very it was not like in Poland, it was a small number of people. And I think the whole nation was silent. Sort of collaboration. And people are not very happy to hear about it. Like, I was hero, I was making a magazine and I was in prison and nobody wants to hear that. People do not want to talk about, you know.
Just want to forget.
Everybody wants to be globalized and to have a new supermarket and to forget that we are East Europeans. We are not East Europeans, we are West Slavs. We are part of West countries, you know. We are not like, I don't know, Bulgarians or Romanians, no.
In o čem danes piše nekdanji disident?
Prostě the first books were written in the chaos after the in the first years during the first years after the fall of Iron Curtain. A to já si myslím, že je strašně málo knih z tohohle období. Jo, a že mě to strašně bavilo a doteď baví. Tohle období je, kdy vlastně vy jste byli děti, jo, ale takový to období prvních 10 let po pádu komunismu. Že začíná být dneska temná díra, jo, jako málo kdo ví, jak to bylo fascinující.
Torej to obdobje po žametni revoluciji je kot neka črna luknja, to kar nihče ni preveč pisal o tem in zato ga to zabava, ker je to nekaj novega.
Posebej v svojih prvih knjigah Andjel in sestra piše o času potrošniške enoličnosti, ki jo prinaša globalizacija.
No, Anděl je taky městská kniha. It was written just after The Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And The Sister is a book about Central Europe, about Czech land, Slovakia, Poland, a little bit Hungary. But the Anděl is only about one Prague neighborhood. It's o pražský, vlastně jednom pražským sousedství je ten Anděl. Ale je to taky jako městská kniha, no.
Je to bolj měščanský.
These two books are after revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And describing ten fantastický čas, kdy prostě do té naší komunistické konzervy přicházely jako móda a šaty a drogy a sekty a všechno
normálně. Opisuje čas té komunistické konzervy, která byla in potom ta sprememba, ko je přišla pač češko móda in ty nové stvari, které
No a to je fascinující, že vy tady v Lublani nemáte supermarkety a nemáte billboardy, jak jste to dokázali?
Torej mu dušioče je to, da v Ljubljani ni takšnih velikih supermarketov in
no,
vsega
tega. There are many Czech cities, small cities from the medieval time, beautiful cities, and in the middle a supermarket. And I was asking Nives.
We have that as well.
But not here.
Well, not in the old center.
In Prague you have McDonald's here.
Everywhere.
And I was asking Kneves, why you people in why? And she answered, because we are clever, not like Czechs. Jo, že jste chytrý. Ne jako Češi.
Nevím, jak se to stalo, nemožná se dejet, nemožná moc bohužel.
Obstaja pregovor, da preden si kaj zaželimo, naj vedno dobro premislimo, če si to zares želimo. Topol je želel padec komunizma. In kaj je dobil?
Jakože globalizace je OK, ale je trošičku nudná.
Globalizace je OK, ampak je malo dolgočasná.
And this is why a lot of writers is looking into the history. Because history is brutal. It's brutal, it's bloody, you know, but it's full of, sorry to say, adventures. Of, I know there's writers in Czech, for example, Arnoš Lustig, you know, he spent his young years in Auschwitz, in concentration camp, or Ivan Klima, he was in Theresienstadt, and he was a partisan, you know. These old writers sometimes are mocking me, like, your time is boring. The time of Second War and time of 50s and even 70s was terrible. But was so colorful, brutal, you know, fruit of osudu, jo, plnej osudu, jako plnej dramat, prostě strašný. And now you are traveling from Germany to Slovakia, not Slovenia, from Slovakia to, I don't know. But of course, our, náš svět je mnohem bezpečnější a pohodlnější, myslím.
Náš svět je veliko bolj varen in ugoden.
I think so.
Na vprašanje, ali kljub norišnicam, zaporom in policijskem nasilju nekoliko pogreša komunizem zaradi kreativne energije, ki jo je represija porodila v podtalju družbe, nekdani odpornik odgovarja.
There is one thing why I regret. I had the time. I had a lot of time. To je fakt. It's truth. Maybe your mother is telling something like this to you. You know, I had time. Sometimes I was in prison, of course, but it was normal part of life for all my friends. But I remember the days when I was only walking and reading and talking to friends and drinking beer. Many days like this. Now it's quite impossible. Jo, rozumíš mi? Jako fakt jsem měl čas. Chodil, ale to možná souvisí s tím, že jsem jako dospělej. Maybe it's not because the regime, but maybe it's because I have a family and, you know.
Maybe because you were young.
Yes, maybe. But now, because but for 5 years, I was teacher at the university. Yes, so I had contact with young people, people at 20 or 25. And I am thinking, I don't know, but I am thinking that there is a... The sickness of these young people is loneliness. Sorry, maybe it sounds stupid. No, but já mám takový pocit, že mnoho mladých lidí se cítí dneska jako osamělé. A nejen mladých, ale i lidi okolo 30. A že to jakoby za té totality jsme byli daleko víc, fakt jako bratři a sestry. No, protože jsme se báli. A to není, it's not only my opinion. Já tak to zkus přeložit. It's my psychological.
Maybe because it, when there are hard times, people are sticking
exactly,
together.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Ali kljub krutosti sistema tudi na Češkem obstaja različica tistega, kar pri nas imenujemo jugonostalgija, kolektivno domotožje po domovini, ki ne obstaja več.
I think this nostalgia in Czech Republic, it's not the problem of intellectuals. Or students. It's jako tuhle nostalgii cítí lidi, kteří často byli jako třeba, já nevím, horníci. You understand? The horník. Miner. Mm-hmm. Or people from the industry. Mm-hmm. Industrial. Jako třeba dělníci. Spousta dělníků má nostalgii, že bylo levné pivo. Že šunka byla levná. Jo, a tyhle věci. Ale jako lidi, třeba intelektuálové, tak ty tu nostalgii nemají.
Nostalgiční jsou především dělovci, tisti, kdy jsou dělali u rudniku. Intelektuálci nejsou nostalgiční.
And there is also nostalgia, že člověk byl mladý. Jo? And it exists, sorry, tenhle typ nostalgie existuje všude na východě. Ale neexistoval typ nostalgie třeba po nacismu. Po komunismu existuje, protože komunismus měl měkký konec, rozumíš? Ale neexistovala nostalgie po nacismu, že byl krátký a brutální.
Nostalgia po komunismu obstaje, který byl konec mehak. In zato po nacizmu pa ni nostalgije, ker je bil brutalen konec.
Danes dela kot novinar in pravi, da je pisateljevanja naveličen, se življenje pisatelja v globalizirani Evropi po večini sestoji le iz potovanj, promocij, izmenjav in neštetih tiskovnih konferenc, samega blebetanja.
For 10 years I was living as a writer, but now my daughters are 5 years old and 10 years old, and it's not so easy like it was before. The life of writer today in globalized Europe, it's like this, that you are traveling from festival to festival, from conference to conference, you know, and we are talking, and well, it's not a good life for me. I need to be in one place and to be concentrated, and after 10 years of this life I had very strange feeling, že přestávám rozumět český zemi. After 10 years of traveling, no, I was working as a reporter for 2 years and it's fantastic. Já jsem psal o vraždách třeba, nebo o divokých zvířatech, nebo o továrnách na biolích, nebo o Romech, nebo o čemkoliv. Dělal jsem rozhovory s politikama, jo.
Ale o Romech, ale s politiky, kde se povolali.
No, takže to bylo zajímavé, že jsem tu zem proskoumal. It's the best. I think to be journalist, traveling journalist, it's the best way how to know your country. K večeři zase chleba a
banán. Večný optimist, ki mu gre na smeh, ko izjavlja, da je fino, da so ga tepli v komunističnih 80-ih, ker ga vsaj niso mučili v stalinističnih 50-ih, se bo že nekako znašel v globaliziranem svetu. Pa tudi, če to pomeni začasni bojkot lastnega poklica. Seveda nezavedno, kajti že razmišlja o novi knjigi, potopisu po Grenlandiji. Na pot pa se bo odpravil s prijateljem, s katerim sta skupaj tihotapila nelegalne letake.
Že ještě žiju a není důvod, abych spěch. Klasická pytlačina, kde ani lovec, ani oběť neumírá.
Njegov roman so v Sloveniji oglaševali kot grozljivo podobo apokaliptične češke tranzicijske družbe. Sam na to pravi.
I am sure, I think, it depends on translation also, that the book is full of humor. I think it's, maybe it's this, but with black humor. You can say it's apocalyptic vision. No, it's too much, no.
Le na en način boste izvedeli, kaj je na stvari. Srečno pot do najbližje knjižnice vam je zaželela Iva Kozmos. Oddajo sva posnela Mikro in Polona.
I kdyby brečel jako Jacques Brel, nemůže splnit, co ti sliboval, tenhle ten vyvrhel. Srdce tě ponesu až do smrti, ale neboj se, i když to srdce je jak lopatka na smetí. Yeah.
až čaroděj povstal a kouzlil, kouzla nehezký, samoty, mlčení a blesky. Odpust mi, jestli můžeš, že se tě ponesu ve svým srdci až ke konci.